How much money do you have to have in the bank for you to believe that somebody is rich? Because pretty much everyone agrees that you're quote unquote rich if you've got 1 million in savings. Do you agree with that?
1 million in savings is comfortable. I would say 3 million in savings makes you rich.
I don't know. I think if I go into your bank account right now, yeah. right? Not all your different IRAs and 401ks and all that, like mm-hmm. your bank account, and there's $1 million there, you're doing all right. You're probably rich.
Like I said, all right versus rich.
I was thinking about when you were a kid, because they asked a bunch of people, like, what do they think being rich means? And if you're Generation Z, you make like $395,000 a year. Baby boomers say you need to make over $1 million a year to be rich. And we can argue that all day long. But remember when you were a kid, like, you would see adults and you would be like, wow, if they had this or mm-hmm. they did this, they were rich.
Right.
And for me, it was always the kids that would go away on spring break. Like, they would go to the Caribbean, or they would go to Mexico, or they would go skiing in, like, gosh only knows where. To me, those people were rich, because I would always say to my parents, like, oh, so-and-so is going away. Mm-hmm. And of course, my dad would have to work all the time at the restaurants. So we'd be like, those people are rich, Anna. They don't got to go to work. They're rich.
For me, it was if you drove a Cadillac. Cadillacs, big, shiny cars was a big deal. The vacation thing I could see, the kids that would come back from spring break, but they would come back a couple days later, whatever, they'd be all tan, and they'd have their Disney shirt on.
Yeah.
That kid was rich.
So rich.
Totally rich.
If they had a pool at their house.
Oh, my gosh.
And if they had a slide in that pool.
Oh.
They're so rich. They're so rich.
That was crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think. What else did I think made a person rich when I was a kid?
Well, I told you you were rich because you had Total Phone.
I did. Yep. I could three-way call people. Yeah, so I was rich. I didn't even know it.
Right. Everybody from the hood needed a rich friend so that they could call them and that person could call their other friend so that they could all sit on the phone and do nothing together at once.
If your family had a boat, not even when I was a kid. To this day, if you have a boat, I still think you're rich.
I think you've just made a bad investment, but that's me.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You think you have monkeypox? That's all I need to know about you. Everybody's got that friend. I have that friend that she's like a hypochondriac all the time.
Yeah.
So I get the text yesterday. I think I have the monkeypox.
Come on with that nonsense.
I'm like, stop it.
And I'm like, it's like what one person.
There's six people in the United States. They're saying the chances of getting it are rare. They haven't even confirmed 90% of these cases.
I'm not even going to engage in this.
Right. No, 100%. Yeah. She's like, no, I think it every single time there's a new disease, it's the one that she has.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what are the symptoms of monkeypox? And she's like, well, like, you know, I'm feverish. I've got a headache, muscle aches. I'm like, you have COVID like everybody
right.
else.
Like,
stop it.
Right. Like, what are you even talking
right,
about?
Exactly.
Take 5 days. Call me back when it's over. It's going to be fine. You don't need to be flown anywhere, isolated or whatever, or any more so than you normally would be.
What's that thing that drives you nuts? 1-800-330-9999. Looking at our text line, Raven. I'm a hygienist. When you go to the dentist and don't brush your teeth beforehand, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, I think everybody's been caught at least once going to a dental appointment where they weren't able to brush their teeth before. But don't be that person that's consistent and at least chew a piece of gum before you're going to go in there.
Breath mints in the mouth. But a lot of times I'm rushing from work.
That's what I'm saying. It always happens.
I don't have my toothbrush. And then the first thing I do is I immediately apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry.
They must hear that from everybody, right?
My breath smells like coffee. This is what it smells like.
Man.
And I have not brushed my teeth. I feel so bad. I'm sorry, Betsy. I'm so sorry.
Not a high percentage of people actually carry floss, but there are some out there.
Tana and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, for me, it's when people spend 4 hours backing into a parking spot. I don't understand it. Like, it takes them way longer to back in because it takes them 5 tries.
Well, I'm with you. You get 1 or 2 tries. 2, all right, 3 the max. If you can't get into the spot after 3 tries, you have to give up. You got to move on with your life.
Totally, man.
I mean, it's me.
I don't know.
When I have to reverse into a spot, I go so slow because I only want to do it once because there's nothing worse than not being, like, being on the line and then having to pull out and try to do it again.
You're better with cameras, right?
Definitely better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I feel like I could park a bus with the use of enough cameras. Now, I don't want anybody around me when I park it, but I feel like if I had enough cameras, I could pull a bus up to a curb. There is that road trip that I did take, and I drove an entire way across the country going just straight. I mean, it was a long trailer on the back of a big truck. I just went straight the entire way.
Oh, that's so funny. I would like to see that. I would like to see you try to reverse a bus into anything.
Mm. On my way in today, if you've got a light so bright on the top of your Jeep that it can be seen from space, that's all I need to know about you. Foggy conditions driving in this morning. I swear, I drove headlong right towards a person with a Jeep that had like a billboard of LED on the top of their vehicle. Like, I don't even know how it's legal to put a light that large on top of your vehicle, let alone that bright.
Remember when it was really in? Remember in the 90s when you used to have that thing, like, all around the bottom? It would, like, illuminate the road when you drove. It was, like, the underneath lights.
You mean, like, neons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were nuts.
Yeah, I don't think that was actually so you could see, you know, like, under the car for driving purposes.
It was just
right.
To be cool.
Right.
Yeah, definitely all I need to know about you.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's Report Card.
Every week, we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia, what's going on?
Nothing much. How are you?
I am great, thank you. What has been going on with Raven? Has he been behaving as a husband?
Yeah, I'm actually a little nervous, Anna. He came home the other day and, like, did all these things that I've been asking him to do for, like, a year, 6 months to a year. So I'm scared, like, he, you know, he's going to drop the bomb, like, he did something or he wants something. Or, you know, I'm a little nervous. Like, he fixed the cabinet door that's been broken for, like, a year. He changed the light bulb on the motion light out front that's been out for, like, 6 months. So I'm a little nervous.
Are you feeling okay, Raven?
See, this is what happens, you know? I get a couple things come off my plate, all right? I get some things cleared out. Some people in the world give me a little bit of time to get my things done, and then all of a sudden, I've got a list. And oh, when I've got a list, guess what, Anna? I bring it. I get the list done. I check the boxes.
Okay.
So I'm just catching up on some things. People have given me the space to handle my business, so when the time came, I've been handling my business, and then look, oh, that means that I can handle some more of your business.
I don't think that's actually the truth. What I think happened here, and I'm taking a wild guess, Alicia, you're getting ready to celebrate your 10th anniversary. You're going to the Caribbean to have, like, a renewal ceremony, and he just wants to make sure everything is on the up and up so that it can be enjoyable, which is great. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Or he had more cake.
Have you been eating relentlessly and
no.
Then this is the way to make up for it?
They threw out the cake. I'm wearing a large shirt today. Not extra large. It's large.
Let me stand up. Let me see.
Big day.
Spread your arms out.
Big day.
You can't.
Big day. I mean, from the side, you know, still, if I lean back, you're still going to get some of this. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean.
Some of this.
It's a large.
Okay, great. I'm glad.
It's stretchy. But it is large.
Listen, we don't measure ourselves by our size. We measure ourselves by our heart.
Well, then if that was the same thing as, you know, being a husband, we wouldn't measure myself by the successful things that I did or didn't do on the honey to-do list.
Oh, no.
And this time I did a bunch.
No. That's your report card. That's exactly what we do. Did you write the 37 pages of instructions to whoever's taking care of your dog when you're getting ready to go away?
Oh, that's saved in a file on the computer. There's actually different ones for different people and different versions depending on how long we're going to be gone. So it just needs a couple tweaks.
Yeah. Who's going to be watching your puppies when you're gone?
It'll be my mom, grandma.
Yeah.
And she'll be sleeping in the downstairs den area. We'll be moving a bedroom set down there for her so that the dog, she doesn't have to carry him up the stairs because, you know, his leg is still a little limpy.
I've never heard of anybody making such a detailed direction sheet for their pets. Like, 30 pages seemed like a lot to me, but you guys didn't even act like it was a big deal.
It's one page, Anna. It's one page. He exaggerates.
No, it's at least 2 pages, 100%.
And, okay, and that's typed. It's two.
And that's typed in single spaced. I mean, it's at least 2 pages. I think it's 3. I mean, I think it's at least 2.5, but whatever. I read through it every time like it's a novel I'm seeing for the first time, Anna, every time we go away, because there's always an update or two.
All right. Well, what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
I got to give him an A, Anna. I mean, he's fixing stuff. I hope it keeps going. There's a lot of broken stuff here for a long time.
It makes me happy that he says he just has time, and that's why he's doing it, because I immediately thought that there was a medical emergency and he's afraid to tell you. And that's what I didn't want to happen.
I wanted to get these things ready for her before I go.
Yes.
Before I move on.
That was the first thing that came into my head.
Awful.
I know. Oh, God, Raven's dying. He's dying. He fixed the light. He fixed it. don't know if this makes Raven less than a man. It'll be up to you. Raven, what happened?
All right. So we were at the festival this past weekend here, and we got a bunch of tickets to go on the rides. Of course, it was my niece's first time going to a festival or carnival, anything like that. So, you know, everybody's all excited. Everybody's fighting to be the first one to take her on a ride, right? Get the tickets. And of course, it's, you know, 15, 20 bucks or whatever for like three rides. Go over to ride the ride. And they stop us from going on the ride. They say, no more adults on the ride. All right. So at this point, you know, after arguing with the carny, who's, by the way, also smoking a cigarette while, you know, watching the bouncy house and this other ride for kids at this festival.
Seems wrong.
But, right, right. Mm-hmm. But adults can't go on it. So then my wife was like, there's no way we're going to pay for these tickets if we're not going to ride any rides. The baby's not going to go by themselves. So she's like, I'm going to return them. Everybody in our group is made uncomfortable when she walks up to the tickets off ticket office and first thing they say is no.
No refunds.
Of course they're going to say that, right? I mean, anybody's going to say that in any business. But I know this situation's not over because Alicia handles this type of stuff all the time. So she turns the screws on them and they end up giving back the money. But it's funny how when you look around, everybody in the group is like choosing a different place to look. They don't want to be right next to her or involved in the ticket counter conversation.
It's awkward, yeah.
Yeah, and I let her handle that stuff all the time.
But that, yeah.
She's good at it.
But so here's the thing. Alicia does this. Alicia takes the bull by the horns, mm-hmm. and she gets what she wants done, even if it isn't pleasant.
Yeah.
Now, but why do you feel like, why are you questioning whether that's wrong?
Well, my brother-in-law looks at me like the whole thing is crazy, like it would never happen to him or he'd be involved with. All I know is that same day, I received a check back in the mail for somebody that had billed me for like $500 because of a phone call she made.
Because of
screws that she turned.
Your brother-in-law thinks that you're less of a man because you don't fight those battles that you send your wife to do it.
It's possible. Either that, he didn't want to be any part of it whatsoever. And I can say, and right after, my sister-in-law, she said, she's like, that would never be me. She's like, that would be never be me. But she was happy. We went and got cannolis after.
She would never engage like that, is what you're saying.
Yes.
She would never be the one to like get into. So she's your muscle, basically, is what it is.
My wife is my muscle.
She's the queen. She goes anywhere she wants.
Well, she's the muscle, which I find very interesting because Raven is an aggressive, take the bull by the horns kind of person.
I typically am.
So the fact that you let Alicia do all these things does surprise me, but does it make you less of a man? I don't know.
I say absolutely not. This is how I grew up. My mom was that person who anytime we went into, you know, like a store, if I didn't like something at a restaurant, send it back. You paid the money. No, I don't feel like doing that. I grew up in New York City, cab drivers. My mom versus cab drivers was the worst thing ever.
It was a thing.
Mm-hmm. If they went a route that she didn't like, if they started the meter, like after we like hadn't fully sat down yet, oh, it was a whole issue.
Really?
And then when I was married, that was actually an issue because, you know, I suddenly had to step up and be that person.
And you didn't know how.
And I was not comfortable. I was used to looking to the woman in my life and be like, oh, yeah, go handle that.
You're
I don't
less
want
than a man.
Any part of that
That's
whatsoever because I'm less of a man. See, look, I knew you had a preconceived notion on this.
No,
you do think Raven's less of a man for this.
I don't. I actually don't because I find like in my family, it goes back and forth. I shouldn't say that. But I don't think so. I think that there's just one person that's good at this kind of stuff versus the other. Sean, do you think Raven is less than a man?
Not at all. Not at all. I think he's just dating a strong woman, married to a strong woman. And coming from a guy who used to work at a supermarket, men sent their wives to me to complain all the time. I think it's a strategy, actually.
Mm.
I think because I was more inclined to just give them the deal than I would if the husband came and complained.
Do you think Raven is less than a man because his wife, Alicia, fights a lot of his battles for him?
My wife strong-armed the people at the ticket counter at a fair this past weekend because there were no rides that we could actually ride, and they didn't want to give her back the money for the tickets.
Right, and then your brother-in-law looked at you, Raven, like you were less than a man because Alicia went and did it for you.
Everybody, not one person that was in our group wanted to be involved in the confrontation. They were all happy to get their money back.
But Alicia, you've admitted, does this all the time for you. Anytime there's a confrontation, she's the one in charge.
Every time.
I don't understand. It's not like I was mean. I was polite. I explained the situation. Yeah, things like that when it comes to like insurance or, you know, anything money back or something was done wrong, I definitely do it because he does it wrong. He talks too much. He just says too much. He'll call the insurance company and be like, oh my God, a rock fell from the sky and hit my windshield today, but I don't have glass coverage. Can we add glass coverage? Will you fix this for me?
That is not what happened.
Uh-huh.
It's true, though. She doesn't let me talk to our insurance carriers or anybody like that anymore.
So, Alicia, from the many years I've known you now, I feel like this is always you. If you're going back to a store and getting money back on something, a return or something, you handle it. If you need to renegotiate the prices on something in your home, like, you handle it. If you need money back from tickets that you're not getting the refund, Alicia's on the phone handling it. Do you think that Raven is incapable of doing it, and does that make him less of a man?
I think he's incapable of doing it, and no, it doesn't make him less of a man, because there's plenty of things he does. Very manly, Anna.
Okay.
I told you she would stick up for my manliness.
Let's see what other people think. 1-800-330-9999. Is Raven less of a man because he can't handle those things on his own and Alicia has to do it for him?
Does it make you feel like you're in the room with us when she's aggressively defending my manliness?
Kind of. I don't know. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Is Raven less than a man?
No, not at all. I think he's actually more of a man because he lets her do what she's really good at and she likes to do.
Here's the other thing. I'm just worried about what will happen if I actually engage in confrontation. Like, I go nuclear. I go volcano. And she knows this. So she's got a better grip on that than I do. Not much better, but better.
It sounds like she's a great negotiator, and I'd rather have her. I'd love to have her on my side.
Anna and Raven, what do you think? Am I less of a man because I let my wife fight the battles?
Honestly, I feel like women are just better at confrontation anyway, so I don't think that makes him any less of a man if she's willing to do it.
If a woman comes at me hostile, I'm just going to give her whatever she wants. Whatever she says, for the most part, especially if I'm in like customer service or anything like that, because I don't want a problem. If a guy comes at me and he's all hostile about it, I'm going to dig in to the trenches. I don't want to give that guy an inch because for some reason, he's trying to put his manliness over on me.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's a weird animalistic thing, but that's what I think in my brain.
All I heard there was, I'm afraid of my wife.
Right.
Yes.
Translation received. Thank you. I mean, I'm sending up smoke signals over here.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you think Raven is less of a man because he has his wife, Alicia, fight all his battles for
him? No, not at all. I think, you know, you play roles in a marriage and, you know, maybe his role is just, you know, in the background. She's, you know, she wears a pants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what's happening.
Oh, when she puts it that way, you have a problem with it.
Well, no, I mean, the thing is, we're both wearing pants and sometimes fighting over those pants and struggling for those pants. Mm. But I like to think of my wife as a velvet hammer, and I don't think that that bothers her at all.
What kind of nonsense is a velvet hammer? You said that to her? Does anybody think you're a velvet hammer?
I bet you if you asked her, she'd be like, yeah, that's cool.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
It's been Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Ryan Breckland from NestEggAuction.com, he's an auctioneer and appraiser, has been joining us. You submitted your items all last week. Thousands flooded my email, and he has gone through a lot of them to find out what is interesting, what is worth money, and what's not. Now, we talked about a lot of paintings through the week, but this guy, Dan, sent us a picture of a Hans Dahl painting, who was, of course, a painter I've never heard of. So what do you think about his painting?
I think his painting has a fascinating story. It looks like members of his family escaped the Holocaust by a near miss.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And snuck this painting out of Nazi Germany before they couldn't leave.
Let me see that painting. This is crazy. What a story.
In fact, the photos that he sent shows a Nazi-marked passport as the family members left and came to the United States.
Wow.
They later found this painting behind another family document that was in a frame.
Wow. I got all the goosebumps.
When you start talking about artwork, what is the thing you keep telling us? Provenance, right? Is where did it come from?
How did it get here? Who owned it before?
Provence. How do you say that word?
Provenance.
Providence.
Provenance. Providence. Whatever. I mean, right. I need some of that.
I had someone contact me about selling a lock of George Washington's hair,
mm-hmm.
and he has the provenance.
There's
a document from a magistrate who certified that it was George Washington's hair so that it could later be sold for the family's benefit.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to make a George Washington dinosaur?
Right. What are we going to do?
I know. I thought about just, let's clone him.
Right. I mean, let's get our hands on that. Whatever they're paying for that, it's a bargain.
So did they ever, hold on, before we get back to this painting, did they sell George Washington's hair?
Not yet, but I hope to close the deal soon.
Yeah!
Can we talk about how much it'll be worth or no? Not yet.
All right, you know what? I'm going to ask you each what you think a genuine lock of George Washington's hair is worth.
Well, considering people are spending $15,000 for Justin Bieber's hair, I would hope that's at least $15,000.
Yeah, yeah. I know that Barbara Streisand paid $50,000 to have each one of her dogs cloned. So I need the materials first. I've seen all of the Jurassic Park movies. Gosh, George Washington's hair. I'm going to give him $100,000 at least and hope nobody else shows up for the auction.
So now the law of supply and demand comes. When the family sold his hair originally, they had a big fat locket full of it. And they broke it into 12 bundles tied with ribbon. So they're way more common than you think, and they're available on the open market. You could probably buy a lock of George Washington's hair for less than $20,000 right now.
What?
Do I want George Washington's hair or Justin Bieber's hair?
I mean, I'm going to get a surrogate and have a George Washington baby.
All right, hold on. Let's get back to Dan. How much is this Hans doll that was a painting that was escaped from the Holocaust? How much is it worth?
I mean, this is amazing. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Hans Dahl is a Norwegian artist, 1849 to 1937. Lived a long time, made a lot of paintings. A recent large, beautiful painting by this artist sold for $28,000.
Oh my gosh, so how much do you think this one is worth?
This one is a watercolor, so it's not as highly regarded as some of the oils. And it's got some condition issues. It's a little faded from being stuck behind that other document. If it came to auction today, this particular one would probably be worth $1,000 to $2,000.
Still, good money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Beautiful, and I think you never sell that because the story behind it.
I mean,
right?
What a story.
That's from your family. Ryan Breckland, you can find him online at nesteggauction.com. All this week, it's Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Last week, you submitted thousands of pictures and items that you have found around your house, and now Ryan Breckland from nesteggauction.com, he's going to pick the ones that are most interesting and tell you what they're worth. Ryan, Denise sent this video. I don't even know how to describe it. It's called Santa's Marching Band, and it's Santa, and it has these bells kind of tied to it, and then when you activate it, it plays this noise. What's the deal with this?
This is a battery-operated Christmas decoration, and it has a little microchip in it that plays Christmas carols with little bells and little figures, and you put it on the mantle when Christmas time rolls around.
I mean, it sounds like nothing special, but when did they make it, right? I mean, is it from the past?
Right.
I think if this was from the 70s or 80s, you'd see a lot more collector interest, a lot more value. But I was able to date this one to 1992.
Oh, that's not that exciting.
It doesn't feel that old, right?
No.
Yeah. It was really popular. And how many years ago was 1992 now?
30.
Right. 30? 30 years.
30
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Well, so, to me, it seems like yesterday, but sure.
Right, right. So if you're nostalgic for something that you had growing up, something that was in your house or that your parents had or you remember as a kid, you're now going out to the secondary market to try and find these. In fact, there's a small collector's world of these, and they're trading them mint in the original box or selling them for parts to try and repair them. But they're just a plastic thing made in Hong Kong in 1992, right?
Wow.
So if you have one mint condition in the original box and you could test it and it worked and the batteries didn't leak inside it, you could probably see $150 to $200 for it.
Okay, well, that's good. Let's stay on the Christmas kind of holiday theme. Because I think a lot of times the holiday collectibles get passed on through the generations, like things that my grandmother had.
It's in the tote.
Yeah.
It's in the box, right.
So what would be the ones that would be worth money that you should be looking for, like ornaments or things like that?
Hand-blown ornaments, specifically German figural hand-blown ornaments that are 120 or 150 years old, are super collectible. They just didn't make it. When we did our Christmas decorations this past year, I had my family-blown Christmas, Santa Claus, German ornament, and it fell out of the holder and smashed to bits.
Oh, no.
And you know what? I can replace it. I can find another one like it, but that one belonged to my great-grandmother. So that's what drives the market with that. Something breaks or you want to replace it or you start collecting antique Christmas things. Think of cross-collectability. So if you have a Coca-Cola ad from the 1920s that also has Santa Claus on it, they've got a wider market, a bigger audience, and that really drives the price up of things.
That's amazing. What if we could CGI the old stuff with Santa and whatnot? We could bring all the products together in one spot, right?
You know what? We definitely don't have it. Knowing my mom, she threw it away. But you know, my dad is a pizzeria guy. He has pizzerias. So I remember, like, Pepsi and Coca-Cola used to give us every Christmas, like, these stuffed animals, holiday stuffed animals. And we used to have them around the house. It would be like Santa Claus wearing a Pepsi t-shirt.
Right.
You know? But I bet you they got to be worth something at this point if you're a Pepsi collector.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what else they used to put in the stores? They used to put a big cardboard cutout of Santa Claus.
Right.
Holding a Coca-Cola or holding a Pepsi or whatever product, because nobody owns a license on Santa, so he just goes on everything.
Interesting. All right, you want to learn more about Ryan? Get your stuff appraised? Head to nesteggauction.com. Both me and my friend Chrissy had to hide ourselves from our parents at graduation on graduation day.
What happened?
Ridiculous. $5 stories. You share your stories. Today's topic is what happened at graduation, and the best story is going to win a $5 gift card. So I had a tattoo on my ankle that my parents had never seen, and I was 100% certain that they would kill me. This is college graduation. That if they saw it. So I had like a dress that I was supposed to wear at graduation. So I had to buy the most ridiculous shoes that covered my ankle. It was May. It was hot. They like covered my ankle so they could not see my tattoo. And when I look back at my outfit, I think how ridiculous I look to hide that tattoo.
It's just funny to me, like, what was the age going to be that it was going to be okay to tell your mom?
It was when I had my first daughter. It was the only time she ever saw me naked at the doctor's office. I was 28 years old. That's when I had to tell my mom that I had tattoos.
Anna,
what is that? Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. But then my girlfriend, Chrissy, the night before, we were having a cocktail or two celebrating the night before graduation. Mm-hmm. And like any good party, you get to the point where you have to reenact the Dirty Dancing scene.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it's Chrissy, and she's running towards one of the Deke guys, one of the fraternity guys. And he goes to lift her above her head. And she was light, but not light enough. And she came crashing down, broke her wrist.
Oh, my gosh.
She had her arm hidden under her gown all graduation day because would not tell her parents, didn't want to ruin her parents' day of graduation, that she had a broken wrist underneath that gown.
I didn't realize that doing the Dirty Dancing thing was mandatory, Sean. Did you realize that?
Oh, no.
Was
no.
That, or is that just,
not a thing.
Just an older person
that's
thing?
A thing, yeah.
That's a them thing, yeah.
You haven't spent enough time around 40-something girls, you know? 35 to 45, 50. Yeah, even older than that, too. You haven't spent enough time around that group of girls.
I'm just saying. I didn't realize it was mandatory.
All right, Raven, $5 story. We're going to move right on.
You know what? I mean, I woke up the next day from graduation, my phone blowing up left and right. There was messages. My parents were getting messages on the answering machine. I remember this was way back in the day here because I was in the paper, and I didn't know why. And by the time when I was a teenager, like, I mean, I could be in the paper for all sorts of nonsense. I could be in trouble. I was on the front page of the paper.
For graduation?
My brother ran up and hugged me and gave me some flowers if I came off the stage. He was very small at that point. He was. And it was the front page of the paper.
Oh, that's
huge,
so nice.
Photo. Yep.
Oh, that's a great story for graduation.
Yeah.
How about you, John?
I got yelled at by the dean because I wore shorts underneath my gown. I wasn't supposed to wear shorts.
Guys.
And he turns around in the ceremony and he sees me wearing the shorts. And it was the most liberating feeling because I finally got to just look at him and be like, dude, what are you going to do? There's literally nothing you can do right now. You have to live with these shorts.
So disrespectful.
He's one of those guys, right? He's going to die on that mountain, that molehill that day.
You showed him.
Right, you sure did. Your hairy, pale legs.
It was great.
Thanks, man.
Sean, your $5 story, graduation.
John, your dean's going to hate me. I'm alphabetically the last friend to have received my diploma. So after I received it, all like 8 or 9 of my friends bum rushed the stage and we all derobed because we were all wearing nothing but Speedos on underneath.
What is wrong with you?
There you go, 500 kids and all your parents.
I mean,
say hello to us.
What was your principal like? Because my attendance officer was the type back in the day, he would have slapped one of us right in the head. Right as that was happening in front of everybody.
We were all very, the principal said we were lucky. He was like, you're lucky. We want to get rid of you guys because if, you know, they wanted to like to make sure we didn't graduate after that. But
I can't. $5 stories. Today's topic, what happened at graduation? Best story wins a $5 gift card. 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
So my parents let me have a small party, which was really nice of them. I mean, it was only supposed to be like 25 people, but the entire school ended up coming. So it was like about 175 people. The cops came. And my parents were arrested because everyone was underage drinking alcohol. They literally never let me live it down.
I mean, I would think so. They got arrested. Of course they would never let you live that down.
Well, it's not like they drag you out in handcuffs. You get a ticket, a citation, you're in the paper, and then everybody thinks you're the bad parents. That lasts for a lifetime, so I get it.
Did you ever go to a party that got out of hand, Raven?
Every party I went to got out of hand. Are you serious?
When you see like the mounds of people coming down the street and you know like that's your house or your good friend's house, like you're like, uh-oh. Like now what do you do? Especially because now you don't even know these people and try to get them off your property. It's the worst.
Best night ever.
Oh, worst night ever. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened at graduation?
So I was a teacher at this Catholic high school, and the graduation was on a really windy day. The bishop is giving his final blessing. A statue falls on this girl from the student council. And then one of the senior boys streaks past the entire crowd.
Wait, while the statue was crushing the girl?
Yeah, you had no idea where to look. Did you listen to the bishop? Did you watch the statue crushing this tiny student council girl who insisted on holding it? Or did you watch the streaker who had taped the bottom of his pants to his knees to cut those off? Put on a shirt and tie under his robe and was naked in between, took off the gown and ran through the entire crowd.
I just picture the Virgin Mary statue with her arms outstretched coming down on that poor young girl and then looking over and having a naked boy.
It wasn't the Virgin Mary. It was the Virgin Mary's husband statue. Yeah.
Well, neither of them were pure after that event.
No.
Right.
No.
Nobody was pure
but
after
the
that.
The streaker was the best.
And Ann Raven, what's your $5 graduation story?
Well, my $5 story is I was asked to play at my high school graduation. I was a concert pianist, but I never really liked to play in front of the kids. And I didn't tell my parents, and I was the youngest of six at a very small school. So my sisters took my parents down, and they sat in the front row. And I'm in line to walk in the auditorium, and my dad's like, comes out, and he's like, your sisters wanted to sit in the front row. I never want to sit in the front row. I'm like, oh, boy. So I played their song, their wedding song. And they stood up and they hugged me. They were crying. It was just a great memory. And the whole auditorium stood up and gave me a standing ovation.
Aww.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Aww.
You're the winner, obviously.
What?
Jeez.
Oh, that is so nice.
What a great story and a great moment. Thank you for sharing with us. Hold on. We got to get you your $5 gift card.
Yes.
100%. I'd hug her right now if she was here.
Yeah, me
I would
too.
Hug you.
Hold on.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
It's not just moms, it's dads too. Doesn't matter if your kids are furry and have four legs or, you know, human and toddlers. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? First of all, I got to give a big shout out to all the parents out there going crazy finding formula, including my sister, my niece Rosie. Rosie is 6 months old. She drove almost 2 hours to find a Target that had her kind of formula to be able to get the last can there.
You know, it's really scary.
Like, 100%.
Right, I mean, I'm not even a parent of a young child. I've never had to go through anything like this. And I'm not even sure how or why, to tell you the truth. I haven't been paying much attention. We'll deep dive, you know, later on this, because I'm sure you can inform me. I can certainly tell you. I know it's a big problem.
Yeah, they're trying to rectify it. The problem is that it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, but I would imagine that must be very scary for parents there. I feel for you.
Yeah, so if you're one of those parents that are out there searching for the formula, good luck to you and enjoy that margarita. You deserved it.
For sure.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
My husband ended up flooding our second floor going into our first floor, and I had to clean all that up with kids home.
Oh, my gosh. Like, so was it from the toilet, or was it from, like, you know, because this is the worst part of plumbing is the touching of the poo.
He left the sink on, and I guess we're having issues with our sink because we're potty training our twins, and he turns the water on so they can use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he forgot to shut it off. So for 3 hours while I was doing morning drop-offs for the older kids, I came back to water leaking all the way into our first floor and basement.
You could have just said, I'm potty training my twins, and I would have given you a picture of margaritas right there.
Everything is a pass after that.
100%. Enjoy that margarita. You earned it, Mama.
Thank you.
Tana and Raven, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I said, I'm a single mom, and it is potty training time with my 2.5-year-old.
Oh, gosh, a lot of potty training happening.
That's a busy time. right? Constantly. Yeah, Do you gotta go?
It took me forever.
Like, do you wanna go? No, I'll go later.
Right, and then they're going immediately after.
I mean, I can still hear Dakota now. I had a little accident. What do you mean a little accident? Your whole pants are soaking wet.
Right. Why is it in the corner of the kitchen?
Right.
You know? I finally got her to wear underwear one day, and I said, you know, you need to let me know if you need to go. And she goes, okay, Mommy. 2 minutes later, Mommy, I'm wet.
Yeah.
I went.
Yeah. Yep. Well, good luck. Yep. We'll get there. It just takes forever.
Enjoy your margarita.
Tana and Raven, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Goodness. Okay, we just bought a boat. So, you know, if you've ever owned a boat, it's just a constant battle of fixing things all week long. And so we've been scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing this boat all week long, just trying to get the rust off, trying to get the scratches out, everything. All week long. And then in the meantime, just like trying to coordinate with people to come to like work on the boat, and they don't show up, and it's Margarita Friday.
It sure is.
Yeah, you know, I would sit in the boat even if it was in my driveway at that point, with the margarita. Right? Sometimes that might be easier. The transportation, the maintenance, it might be easier.
I've always wanted a boat. It's like on my bucket list for my husband and I, both of us. But every one person that we know that owns it says don't do it.
Yeah.
And they said that you just got to find friends that have a boat.
That's right.
I don't have any friends that have a boat.
Those are the best boats to be associated with. Your friend's boat.
If you want to be my friend and have a boat, I am taking applications right now.
Yeah, don't call her until it's seaworthy, though.
Right.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Oh, boy. Brian and Heather. Heather, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, my brother-in-law has called and asked if he can come and stay with us. He being kicked out of his home. My sister-in-law has asked him to leave, and with a very good reason. I understand. My husband, you know, this is his brother. However, the reason he's being asked to leave is because he cheated on his wife.
Okay.
They have a family. My sister-in-law is the sweetest, most wonderful woman. And she's going through hell right now. Brother made his bed, literally. He needs to deal with this. I am not going to let him come live in my home and pretend like nothing is going on when he went out and he has destroyed his own life.
Brian, what's going on?
So recently, you know, my brother admitted he has been having an affair. He has asked me if he can temporarily stay at our home, mine and Heather's home, due to being kicked out of his own. Now, firm believer here that, you know, obviously no one should be having an affair, but he's family. He's my brother. I'm not just going to turn him away. That Heather seems to think that this is a big deal and then that he should, you know, he made the bed, now he should lie in it. And I don't agree. I think that he's my brother. I'm going to help him out no matter what. I know he screwed up. He knows he screwed up. He can only try and be better from here, but I'm not just going to put the guy out in the streets. He's my brother. I can't do this. You know, it would be wrong for me to try and just tell him no.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I mean, if somebody asks you for a place to stay in temporarily, let me ask you something. Is there any chance that they reconcile? So, I mean, I know that that's probably difficult for you to see at this moment, but do you, either of you, believe that there's any chance that they reconcile?
I think they could.
Yeah.
I genuinely think they could reconcile it, but the ball's in their court. You know, it's like, that's just my advice.
I think that if there's any chance that they're going to get back together, Anna, then you do all that you can to support them as a family. It's one thing if your sister-in-law comes over and says, don't let him stay here. I don't want him to stay here. And then you have to make a choice, and that's not very cool either, right? I mean, somebody's actually asking you for lodging. While they did something morally terrible, is it dangerous, per se?
Heather, are you close to your sister-in-law? I'm going to guess the answer is yes.
I am close to her, and quite honestly, I feel like by letting him come stay with us, it's choosing a side, and it's supporting what he's done.
Right.
No, yes. I understand
how he made the choice to cheat. He should have thought about that before. I get it. Yeah, okay, he's in a hard situation, but he put himself in that situation.
Yeah, but if they get back together, are you going to treat him like a pariah every time he walks in your home?
No, I'm not, but he doesn't belong in my home until they figure it out. That's between the two of them. And if he's in my home, then that's me making a choice to support him until they work it out. Let them work it out on their own. That's not for us to get in the middle of.
I tend to agree
with
you,
Heather. They need to do that on their own.
Let's see what the audience says. They may agree with you, Heather. You're taking sides. By saying, yes, you can come stay here, you're taking sides. And that's not fair, because clearly that's not the side, Heather, you want. But they may see Brian's side, too. It's his brother. How do you tell your brother, no, go stay in a hotel or go find somewhere else to stay while you figure this mess out?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Oh, there's drama. Brian's brother cheated on his wife. Wife found out, threw him out. Brian's brother went to Brian and said, can I come stay with you? I have nowhere to go. Brian is okay with it, but his wife, Heather, is like, are you kidding me? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Heather thinks that this would be them choosing a side in this. She loves her sister-in-law. She's very angry with her brother-in-law, thinks that he's, you know, caused this problem basically for the entire family. Not even just for his family, but for their family, too, obviously, at this point. But you know something? A lot of times, this is what happens, Anna. That person looks around for somebody to help them out, the brother-in-law, right? And if he doesn't have somewhere to go, where could he go? The place that he had the affair, I'm guessing. Yeah, well, then that problem gets larger, possibly.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I am on the husband's side. I don't know what their circumstances are, but if they have a home and a mortgage and children, I think you should help him out so that the children's lives are not disrupted and that mortgage payments are made, kids have food to eat. That's just what I think.
It's a good point. You know, they have to keep supporting their family lifestyle as if nothing is happening. And this is just somebody to help out during that transition period.
These things take time to play out, right? Everybody's hurt right now. They're all sensitive. I mean, not giving somebody a place to crash for a few days while they kind of start working out those first steps, I think it's a bad move.
Devil's advocate, though. You made your bed, lie in it. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Brian's brother had an affair and his wife threw him out. And now Brian's brother has asked to live with him. Now, Brian's okay with it, but you know who's not? His wife, Heather.
Yeah, she thinks that this would be a big problem for them, choosing a side in the marriage. She can't believe that her brother-in-law would do this to her sister-in-law, who she really loves and adores. She says, no way is he staying here.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
Hi. I think if the guy has some other person he can couch surf with, he should do that. But if he doesn't, purely from a practical standpoint, they should let him stay, because that will be helping saving the whole family money that shouldn't have to be spent on a rent.
You know, one of the things that she mentioned a couple times is, you know, it feels like choosing a side. And I totally understand that she would feel that way. On the other hand, if you lock them out, it also feels like you're choosing a side, right? Yeah. And they'll remember that.
No, it's a no-win situation. Either way. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side, because I think that that's his loyalty. Like, he should be loyal to his brother, and she should be loyal to the brother, because the brother's closer family than the wife. She sounds like she's nagging because she's the wife that he cheated on her.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. Heather's out of her mind. That's his brother. His brother. And it's none of her business what's going on. You just give him a place to stay. You don't have to choose a side. You can still be friends with your sister-in-law. But stay out of it and you give him shelter while he needs it.
I do believe that blood is thicker than anything. And right or wrong, you got to stick with your family.
I mean, I think that somebody comes to you and says, hey, can I crash here for a minute? They're your family.
Yes.
You don't get a chance to say no, right?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brian, our audience agreed with you. Blood is blood. It's your brother. You can tell him we're not taking sides. We're not happy with what you did. But of course, you can stay here because I'm not going to let you be on the street. Your sister-in-law, Heather, has to understand that.
And I mean, you're free to tell her. I mean, you should have that conversation with her and explain your position, I would think. But you just didn't get the votes today.
Well, you know, I think that the audience is right as well. You know, it's not an easy situation, but, you know, it's my brother. I can't just put him out in the streets. You know what I mean?
No, I do.
Heather, you're going to be cool with that, right?
I don't know. I may go stay with my sister-in-law. Help her with the kids since we're supporting this man.
Well, this is the fun part of when other people around you start to break up or have problems. So wish you guys luck with that.
If you have a problem too, send an email. Couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Can't beat Raven cash jackpot is $7,800 thanks to Discover Card. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back.
Use Discover to earn 5% cash back at the gas station and Target now through June on up to $1,500 in purchases when you activate. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/rewards. Sarah, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Please leave the room, Raven.
Sure. Good luck, Sarah.
Okay, Sarah, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. $7,800. Raven's walking out of here. Okay. When that door closes, he can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I am. I'm nervous, but I'm ready.
Okay, number one. Taylor Swift was recognized by NYU with a doctorate of fine arts. Who interrupted Taylor Swift's speech after she received the Best Female Video Award in 2019 at the MTV VMAs?
Kanye West.
Number two, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus is back with a new show that will not feature any animals. What 2017 movie starring Hugh Jackman told the story of the life of P.T. Barnum?
Oh, God. The Ringmaster.
All right. Number three, Rebel Wilson said that her motivation to slim down was so she could become a mom. She stars in the new Netflix movie Senior Year. What country is Rebel from?
Australia.
Number four, Gisele Bündchen says that she was so nervous she almost didn't do her cameo in the movie The Devil Wears Prada. The novel The Devil Wears Prada was written by what author?
That's time,
Sarah. Number five, Rihanna and ASAP Rocky welcome their first baby. It's a boy. Rihanna voiced the animated character Gratuity, a.k.a. Tip, in a 2015 movie where the alien race called the Boovs are invading Earth, and she strikes up a friendship with a fugitive Boov named O. What movie is that?
I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
2 out of 5.
Oh, my gosh. $7,800. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, Taylor Swift was recognized by NYU with a doctorate of fine arts. Who interrupted Taylor Swift's speech after she received the Best Female Video Award in 2009 at the MTV VMAs?
Kanye, I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you finish.
Number two, Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus is coming back with a new show that will not feature any animals. What 2017 movie starring Hugh Jackman told the story of the life of P.T. Barnum?
That's Greatest Showman.
Yes, you guys are tied. Number three, Rebel Wilson said her motivation to slim down was so she could become a mom. She stars in the new Netflix movie called Senior Year. What country is Rebel from?
She's from Australia.
Number four, Gisele Bündchen says that she was so nervous that she almost didn't do her cameo in the movie The Devil Wears Prada. The novel The Devil Wears Prada was written by what author?
Stephen King.
Lauren Weisberger.
That was my next guess.
It wasn't. Number five, Rihanna and ASAP Rocky welcome their first baby. It's a boy. Rihanna voiced the animated character Gratuity, a.k.a. Tip, in a 2015 movie where the alien race called the Boovs are invading Earth. And she strikes up a friendship with a fugitive Boov named O. What movie is that?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's not Trolls 2.
No, you definitely don't know. Just
okay.
So
yeah,
you don't
know.
It's called Home, and I love that movie, Home. You can watch it on Netflix.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry, Sarah. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Okay, thank you guys so much. Love you guys. This is Sarah, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks, Sarah. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. She was nice.